Hello and welcome. My guest today is George Heaton. George is the creator of Represent, a brand that designs clothes for the modern man. And in this episode, you'll learn about George's reaction to Diddy wearing his clothes on New Year's Eve, how to be more creative, George's morning routine, how he sets goals, and how he deals with setbacks. George came on the podcast originally in August of 2021. It got an incredible response. We had an immediate connection, and I'm so grateful that we got the opportunity to do this one in person. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and share it immediately via text, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it may be. Sharing this podcast helps it grow. If it grows, I can get better guests. If I can get better guests, it can grow and you can have a better experience. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited for you getting the opportunity to listen to this one because I enjoyed it tremendously and I hope you do too. Now, let's get into a little preview of what to expect from this episode.
I think creators need so much more time than what everyone else needs to just sit and think.
What's your reaction when Diddy post that?
Train the body. Train the body as much as you can because that will help with your mind. Like it took me 8 years to start enjoying it.
Building the brand?
Yeah. Building the brand.
Wow. What was the moment you started enjoying it? So we recorded our first episode in August of 2021.
Damn, is that how long ago it was?
Yeah.
Wow.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
And I was curious, looking back on the last year and a half, what's the biggest rite of passage you've been through in that time?
Just a crazy amount of self-development, which has helped my business grow to like phenomenal levels since then. And at that time when I was speaking to you, I was like at the start of that growth and I could feel it coming. And that's why I resonate so much with you, because the conversations that we had then like made me what I am today.
So like, let's break it down. What happened? What has happened in the past year and a half?
Just sheer amounts of focus, growth, self-reflection, self-development, and just building my business to where I want it to be.
So we spoke and it really hit people. Like I get messages to this day about our conversation. Yeah. Why do you think it resonated so strongly with people?
Do you know what, man? I think it was like the way we conversated together. Like I've been on quite a few podcasts and I turn a lot of podcasts away, but I just loved the way that you kind of looked into my life and my lifestyle and asked the right questions and said the right things, and we just gelled together.
Yeah. I think it's two people who are on a mission, who are growing.
Right.
And because of that, I see myself in you in a further stage, and you might see yourself in me in a...
Dude, 100%. Like I told you earlier, like I follow you on Twitter and I read all the tweets and I see what you're doing and I understand that you're putting everything into what you're doing. And that's the same with me. So we resonate together. It's great.
What does that take? Like to put everything into something you're building, and why don't more people do it?
Because it requires a lot of the word sacrifice. It requires full focus on that thing. And a lot of people aren't willing to let go of other things to be able to just keep going at that one thing. And for me, like I was built into that. Like I've been doing this for 12 years now. So for me, like I've always been that way. I just needed to get to different levels where I could have that self-belief and actually push it to the next level and really focus in on it more.
And then when you're in the process of growing and changing, what is happening within you?
I think it's just a lot of self-reflection and like understanding ways how to conversate, understanding ways how to meditate, understanding ways how to really just deal with situations and controllables and uncontrollables and everything that comes along with just growing in life.
When you say self-reflection, what, break that down for me. What does that mean exactly?
Self-reflection to me is just like spending a lot of time by yourself on your own, understanding where you've come from, what you're doing, where you're trying to go, how you're going to get there, how you've got to where you are now, and just keep looking back on that and also being grateful for them opportunities that have come your way.
How do you find time to like spend time alone?
I actually have a lot of spare time.
Do you?
Which is really strange. A lot of people think I'm just like constantly busy, but no, man, like, I wake up, I train, I eat, I work, I come home, and I have a couple hours where there's not something going on every 5 seconds on my phone. Like, I have that time. And then on Sundays, like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not in my office. I'm not working. So I've got a full day to just think about things.
It separates the people who make the biggest gains and the people who are on the rat race, right? Is the time to reflect, the time to sit back and be like, how am I operating? What do you suggest to somebody? Has there ever been a time when you felt in the race of not being able to reflect, and how do you pull yourself out of it?
I think that's a hard question to answer, because when you're at a place where you're not satisfied with where you're at, you're constantly trying to get to that thing. Whatever that thing is. And I have friends that they're in the same position, and I see other people doing it where they can't stop. But really, sometimes you got to literally step back and take a minute and think about what you've done and how you're going to get to the next thing that you want to get to. And for me, that's just literally going on walks, going for a run. Dude, you can literally figure out what you're going to do next by just taking the fucking fresh air and hitting the road and just seeing where you're about.
Hell yeah. I prepared a lot for this conversation. Nice. And one key piece of your life, I want to break down the 29 things you've learned for your 29th birthday. I went through that thread, pulled out some of those pieces that have really made an impact on me, and I'd love to talk to you about them.
Yeah, let's do it.
Number two is always be on time. Why is that important?
Just like today, I came in a few minutes early just because, and I even text you saying I'm going to be early if you want to do it. Just because, like, for me, that shows respect, right? You've got to be respectful of yourself and of the other people that you're meeting. I'll never be late unless there's an unforeseen circumstance. I was built that way. Like, my dad was like that. He made sure I always got to school on time, always got home on time. Where I was at football, I was the earliest one there, and I just believe that, like, that's the way to be.
Along those same lines, I think you have one on here that says wake up early. It's like you're treating yourself with respect for yourself by waking up early.
Right. Like, for me, I'm a morning person. I always have been since the day I was born. I can't speak for people who are night people. Like, my brother's a night person. He's the absolute opposite. So for me, just like waking up early is just standard practice.
I knew this interview was coming today. I knew I had another interview before, and I was like, well, how am I going to find time to do all the things that I need to do today?
Right.
Set the alarm for 5 o'clock. And I was like, oh my God, I have so much time.
There you go.
And the crazy thing is about people and studying them is then they become part of you, so you can pull on them at any point. Over the past week, I've been studying you.
Okay.
As weird as that sounds.
No.
I've been looking deep into your story, listening to you on previous podcasts. So you were the voice in my head that said, yo, wake up early. Like, it's no problem. Like, just get it done.
That's great to hear.
And it's like, we can look at people and you find people and you're like, oh, that person resonates with me and that person can be on my shoulder. Are there any people for you who are on your shoulder or who are in your head? Even though you've maybe never met them or
100%. And
who are, like, those people?
People from all over different areas. You're one of those people. I read your tweets. That gets me going. Mm-hmm. So you're on my shoulder. Obviously there's people like David Goggins pushing the boundaries of the human body, really going to the furthest you can go. Like, he pushes me to do that when I'm working out. There's people in fashion that I'll take inspiration from to design for. There's all these different areas that I love being involved with, whether it's podcast, fashion, working out, training, CrossFit, anything like that. Like, I can pull little things from all these people that I follow. And I fully believe that, like, who you follow is now what a mentorship is. Like, dude, you can follow 100 people that are doing the things you want to be doing. Or you can go and follow 100 people from school from 5 years ago that aren't doing any shit. Choose who you follow, because it's going to reflect on your life, right?
100%. And it's hard because people get caught up in the pattern of, this is who I was supposed to be. This is who my friends from old think I am. Right. Like, what do you tell somebody who's trying to become more?
It's hard. I've had friends, a lot of friends growing up that have been with me in business and who haven't been with me in business and seen them go on different paths. And look, it's built into society, especially in the UK, that like, you got to do this, you got to go to university, you got to get this job, you got to get this wife, you got to have children, you got to do this by this age. Mm-hmm. Everyone think, well, not everyone, but the majority of people think that like, that's the only way they can go, and they have to settle at some point. And like, I was just always afraid of that. I never wanted that. I just wanted to be different, and I wanted to go and just prove to myself that I can do something that not many other people are doing.
Why?
Honestly, it all leads back to when I was a kid. Like, my dad had a sick car, and like, we had like such a nice house for like where we lived that I was so proud of it. Like, when he dropped me off at school, the kids would be like, damn, your dad's got a Range Rover. And I'd be like, I'm going to have to do this. Like, I want that feeling when I'm older. Like, I want to be dropping my kids off in a sick car. And like, when they come home from school and they want to bring their friends around, they've got a nice household like to come to. Like, why not? Like, I want success. Like, it's drilled into society that success is an evil thing and money's such a bad thing, and like, people like capitalism's this and that, but like, everyone should aspire to be successful.
And when you see success so closely, it makes you want to succeed more.
Right.
Some people think that if you see wealth or if you see success, it's going to repel against you and you're not going to want to do that. But I've never experienced that. I look at success and I'm like, I want that, and I want more than that.
And that's just your mindset. Like, people have different mindsets on things. And luckily enough, I was brought up in an area where there wasn't much success, but I knew there was a little bit where my dad had come from, and I knew like different ways of being able to make money rather than just going getting a job, because he'd done that. And then we'd go on holiday and you'd see more success. And then like, we used to go to this lovely little town called Abersoch in Wales, and he'd take me there for summers, and there was people that were like mega wealthy. So you'd understand that like, whoa, these guys are doing this, this and this, and they're getting so much. And for me, that like, I'd come back home, back to normality, and be like, I've got to get there. Like, there's way more opportunity than what is in front of me in school here.
You went to that place during COVID, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So my dad has a little like beach chalet thing there. It's sick.
What happened during COVID and going to that place?
Just gave me a lot of time to really just, like I said earlier, like reflect on life and just figure out what's next.
Okay, I want to keep going through these tweets because there's a lot of really, really valuable nuggets here. Number 10 is build a community. If you're building a brand or selling a product, create an aura of community, a driven group of like-minded individuals who will actually do your marketing for you.
Right.
How do you go about doing that?
I think that for me is like, live your brand. I think I always say it when people ask me, like if we're doing a pop-up store, or like customers will come and say like, I want to build a brand. What do I do? How do I start? Where do I go? For me, it's like, make product that you want. Make something that you want, that you love. Like you're doing with podcasting, you love doing this. So you're going to attract the same people that also love doing this. So for me, like, my clothes are what I love, and like-minded people love the same clothes. So we come together, we build a community. Those people go and find other people that love the same thing, and it just grows that way.
Dude, you know what I realized about why I appreciate you so much? It's because you have the clothing. The clothing piece represents the artist. And the fitness side of you represents the warrior.
Right.
And when you can combine the warrior and the artist, it creates more knowledge. It creates more wisdom. It creates a bigger picture than if you were just an artist alone.
Right.
Or you're just somebody who was into bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Right. Dude. Like, you're, how do both of those play for you?
Like, for many years, I didn't know like what I wanted to do. And like, I didn't want to post about like training when I'm a fashion designer, and like, no other fashion designers are getting into fitness and like doing all this crazy stuff. And one day I was just like, hold on, I want to make some clothes here that I can do both of them things in, and then take it from there and just see what happens. And like, it really hit. Like, I made this pant that was for training. You know, we spoke about it before, and it just became like the best selling product we've ever done. It was a perennial, like, we don't even promote the thing and it sells out every single day. And for me, that turned a switch in my head and like made my mindset open up to a new reality where I don't have to just pigeonhole myself in fashion. I can be in fitness. You can do whatever in this day and age.
And I think what it highlights is that your uniqueness actually is your competitive advantage.
Right.
And it's so often we're trained in school that our uniqueness is weird and right. our uniqueness is something that should be
yeah.
left to the side. But what's actually true in the real world is your uniqueness is what is going to attract people.
Yeah. And the realization of that for me quite a few years ago, like, helped really blow the business up and helped me realize that there's so much potential within myself and within my brother and within the team that, like, we don't have to just be this one label. Like, no, like, that's an old way of thinking. We don't have to stick to a fashion calendar. We don't have to launch these exact products. We don't have to look like this other brand. We can do whatever we want.
How does somebody go about finding their own uniqueness?
I think it's just about spending time being with yourself and, like, understanding what you actually enjoy. Like, what is it? Like, tell yourself, what is it you enjoy? Go and find it. Like, it's hard for me to answer questions when I found it at such a young age. Like, I was 18, 19. I'd always done graphic design. I wanted to make something that I could sell. So it worked hand in hand. But I get this question a lot, especially in DMs, is like, how do you find your passion? And I don't actually know. I don't know what it is. How did you find podcasting?
I screwed up a lot.
Right.
Like, I went down one road. I was like, all right, this seems fun for a moment, but I stopped doing it.
Right.
It's like, what's the thing that you keep coming back to?
Okay.
What's the thing that you can't not do?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you cannot not create clothing.
Right.
Like, you have to.
Yeah.
You cannot not train. Like, it's just in you to do that.
Is it in you because you've done it so many times that it becomes what you know and, like, the only thing you know? Or is it in you because you were made for it? I don't know.
Well, I stopped podcasting for a month. Dude, I got sick.
Yeah.
And I started doing it again and I started feeling healthy. Fuck. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess I have to do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's same thing with you in training. I'm sure that's exactly 100%. What happened.
Like, zero options mentality is always, like, a thing I live by. And, like, when I stop doing something that's within the brand or within training, like, even if it's for one day, I'm like, fuck, get back to it.
Yeah.
Get back to it. Don't enjoy something else. Get back to it.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? I think you like, reprogram your brain to really fucking focus in on that one thing.
Yeah, I think that in order to find, see, how I view it is, like, your uniqueness is different than your passion, right? My uniqueness right. is about podcasting, but it's also about fitness, but it's also about reading, but it's also about psychology and business. Like, it's all those things.
Yeah.
But I can only uncover that from doing the work.
Right.
So, and it sounds like a similar story from your perspective, where you could only come to the pant that you design by doing the work of trying to be like every other
mm-hmm.
apparel brand. And then it was like, oh wait, let me try to go another layer deeper.
Yeah.
Let me go another layer deeper.
So it's literally repetitions.
Yes.
Like everything in life, the more you do it, the more you fail, the more you get better, the more you win.
Yes. That's a bar. We got to clip that. going back to the 29 list, stick to good habits. A lot of people go off track 2 of the 7 days a week. Try not to. After a few months of practicing this, you won't go back to old ways. Habits are built over a period of 70 days or so. Do something every day for this time period and it sticks. Simple.
Yeah, it really is simple. Like, I have so many friends and, like, people around me that just can't stick to, like, one thing, whether it's a diet, whether it's a training plan, whether it's, like, choosing to do something or choosing not to do something or even just waking up early. Like, it only takes a couple months of doing it to make it stick for the rest of your life. And what is that couple months as a percentage for 40 years? Like, if you want to get fit, you've got to do something for 60 days or so, right? And then it'll become automatic. 60 days out of 50 years is what? 0.12% or something like that. That's all it takes for you to focus on.
I think what holds a lot of people back on that is I failed so many times in the past.
Right.
I've been inconsistent. I haven't been able to follow through on my word. But what I try to remind people is, like, you can be a different person in this moment.
Right. And it only, like, you can be consistent and then lose it because you're motivated at the start and you lose the motivation halfway through or a few weeks in. But there's a little thing called discipline, which just means do it even if it's hard. Do it even if it's, like, rough. If you don't feel like doing it, just do it. Just do it for a couple months and it'll become easy. Like, I used to go to CrossFit training, right? And I would go 3 times a week because it was that painful for me. And I'd fall asleep in the office and I'd be like absolutely like drained. And then after a few months, it's like your body's used to it. You start enjoying it and then you can't stop.
Just the new normal.
Right.
What have you seen from the people around you in your life who have successfully brought about the things that you've done into your life? Like they've looked at you and they've been like, all right, I want to be like George and I'm changing my ways because of you. What have you found that have been the commonalities between those people?
I think that's such like a beautiful thing that you can have a ripple effect on other people. And I have a close team around me that like come with me to all everything I do, and they're all like-minded. They're all on the same wavelength. They all do the same kind of things. And it's great to see that like the way I've chosen to go about my life, they'll choose that as well, and they'll actually enjoy it. Especially my brother, like we're the same. Even though he sleeps late and I sleep early, like he's disciplined, he understands how to do everything. He reads, he writes, he goes to the gym, he does everything that I do. If I wouldn't do that, he probably wouldn't do that. So it's a great thing to be able to like have that ripple effect on others around you.
Why do you think it was successful in his case?
I think it's successful in everyone's case. I think if anyone chooses to live a better life with health, with training, with well-being, with growing your own mindset and understanding that you can take information from reading and experiences and stuff like that, like it's only going to benefit you. And if you can't see that it's benefiting you, then maybe you're not doing it right.
One thing you've said is that you just started reading recently and that reading has been a new addition into your life, which is fascinating since, you know, it seems like you have the wisdom of somebody who's been reading for a long time. So how did you get into reading and why did that play such a critical role?
I only started reading like 2 or 3 years ago, just
wild.
And before then, I'd never pick up a book, never. And I think actually it was a combination of like podcasts started to come out. So I was listening to podcasts and like people that tell you to read different books. And then I just wanted to really just expand my knowledge. And up to then, yeah, I'd done a lot with my life and I've been through a lot of experience. So I have my own experiences in a lot of things, whether it's relationships, whether it's building a business, whether it's building a brand, whether it's going to factories, going all over the world. Like I've done a lot of stuff. So I have a lot of experience myself. So when I read books, I can take things from them that I already have done or that I know I'm going to need to do. So it's just like a compounding interest on what my life already is.
Anything stand out in particular of like this book is something that I would recommend or this resource changed me?
Yeah, definitely. A book that really actually changed me was Tim Grover's Winning and Relentless. Both fucking unbelievable books and just helped you really understand like how much effort you've got to put in. Like it's a lifetime of just hard grind, no matter how big you get, no matter what you do, like who you become, like every day it's like day zero.
Was there a moment for you of like, wow, this is different? I mean, no.
Wait, in terms of what?
It's like P. Diddy's wearing you, Mike Malak, you know, at one point, Bieber and Post Malone. They're wearing the things that you create.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a moment in all of that that are, you're like, all right, like this is different or this feels different?
I don't think so, man. Like,
wow.
There's never been like a defining moment, but there's that, like all those little things that happen, they all give you that extra boost, that extra motivation, that extra self-belief. So yeah, they're all moments in time where you're like, fuck yeah, we're gonna do this shit. But there's never a moment that's like, oh, whoa, this is it, like we're here.
Yeah.
I don't think there ever will be.
That makes sense. You to quote you, some of the biggest podcasters, YouTubers, music artists and influencers wear Represent. None get paid for it. They choose it. That's quality, product, fit, fabric, brand. What does that mean to you?
It means like that's what I try. Like my mission is that, like quality, fit, product, brand, community, like that. All them things are like what I live and breathe. So when that gets out to people who are so much further ahead than me in life and so much further, so much bigger as a personality or as whatever they may be, that they'll resonate with my clothes. Like the brand is so personal to me that like they'll know, or I hope they'll know who I am from the brand and understand that like they're wearing it because like I am the brand as well. Like the brand is cool and we're all on this mission together, and that like I would hate for people not to like to choose not to wear the brand because of me, if that makes sense.
What makes something cool?
Ooh. What even is the word cool?
Cool is Justin Bieber. Cool is Post Malone. Cool is P. Diddy. I mean, cool is what people like.
Right.
And what is universally acclaimed is like, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it.
I think
what makes something popular maybe is a better word.
What makes something popular? I think it's just brand. Like, mm-hmm. brand is such a wide variety of things now. And I think if you're a brand owner, like staying true to what your beliefs are and having those little pinpoints that you can always come back to whenever you're trying to make decisions, and the way your brand's got to look, the way your brand's got to feel, like what your price points are, what the values are behind the brand, like that's what makes it like cool.
Does Represent have values, or do you have things written out?
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
Is there anything you can share of like,
yeah, like our values are family, quality, relentlessness. They're the top three.
Family, quality, relentlessness.
Yeah. Family, because this is me and my brother. Like, we fully own the brand together. There's nobody else involved with that. And hopefully it'll be like that till the day we leave or the day we die. But then that expands out from like the guys who I bring around with me, like John, who's over here, Harry, who's at the hotel, James, Steph, Spen, like they're my family. I don't see them as just friends or colleagues. Like, it's like the whole team is my family. And then even through that, expanding, like the community is our family. Like the guys that come to our pop-up shops and camp out for a day before, and like, they're my family, man. They're like, we're all in this together. Like, they love the brand. Like, why wouldn't they be my family?
What does it mean to work with your family?
Dude, it's like, honestly, like,
because some people say you can't. Some people are like, it's impossible to work with your family. I just had a guy in here before, Elliot Bisnow, who had real challenges working with his father. Like, what does it mean to work with your family, and how do you get along with it? In our last podcast, you talked about how you and your brother never had a fight.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I think it's just like a level of respect. Like, I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing it for them as well. I'm doing it for Mike. He's doing it for me. Like, we have that self-respect and respect for each other that at such a high level that, like, whatever happens, like, we're in it together. Like, there's nothing can come between us. And I think that was just literally built into us as, like, young lads that were the similar age, and my dad brought us up that way.
What does quality mean?
Quality means having the focus to make sure that that is number one thing before anything. Before margin, before profits, before anything. Like, quality is always a number one for me. Like, I need my product to be the best quality, like way better than anything else at its price point, because that's what sets us apart from other brands.
How do you figure that out, and how do you know when it's ready to ship?
I'm always at the start of that process where there's so many other people involved that get it to the point of where it's shipping that, like, for me, I would love to make hoodies that are made out of silk that I can retail at $150, but it's not going to happen. So I'll push the boundaries as much as I can within the range that I can, and still make the product that is like attainable to most people, but still push the boundaries on the quality and make sure I'm still in the best factories in the world and shipping at the best times in the world.
Makes sense. What does relentlessness mean to you?
Relentlessness is just like my way of being, my drive. Like, wake up early, get shit done. Like, be relentless with the journey, man. Like, we're not here for a long time. We just gotta do everything we can for what we wanna do.
Relentlessness means to me that you are giving respect to the moment and respect to your life to make it all you can be.
Yeah.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, it's 110% or nothing, do you know what I mean? Like, and I wanted to instill that in everyone within the business, within the wider team. Like, we're in this together, so let's all stay on the same wavelength.
How do you instill relentlessness into somebody if they don't have it within them?
That's a hard question, because some people just aren't into that, and I understand that. But for me, it's like we spoke about earlier, like, there's a ripple effect. If you can set the standard, and be the standard, then everyone feeds off that standard. Like, if I was a guy that was out golfing on Wednesdays and fucking off on holiday every weekend because the business is at a great place, do you think my team would, like, respect me at the level of that I'm at there? Like, I don't believe in that. I believe in being in the forefront, doing the hard work, and never taking the foot off the gas.
Love that. So, number 14 was inspire greatness by doing great things. What's that all about?
Just do great things, man.
What's the last great thing you've done?
Oh, well, I went to bed early last night. That was great enough. We were supposed to be going to 11. And I walked in the living room and I was like, boys, we're not doing it. So I think that was great.
John was not happy about that. Yeah.
John wasn't happy. Nah, there's loads of great things we do. Like, we do great things in the business every day. Like, so many good things happen, so many bad things happen, but as long as you can make them great, then you're on with it.
No, but I love that example of a small thing being great, right? Yeah. Like, small thing, we're going to bed early tonight. Yeah. Well, that's like, that sets you up for the next day.
Exactly.
And that is potential. So I think oftentimes we don't think about the small things that we do as great because, oh, I just went to bed earlier. Oh, I just went to the gym one time. Well, you just laid a brick for yourself for the future.
Right. And then little things that compound over time are like what I believe will make people successful. Mm. It's all about the little things that you do daily. It's not about having setting a goal from 5 years away where you believe you're going to be at this and you want to get this exit and stuff like that. It's just do the things today that matter and tomorrow will be better.
Because you cannot predict yourself 5 years from now.
No.
Because we spoke in our last podcast, you were saying, what I did in the past year, I thought it was going to take me 5 years to do.
Right.
You can't actually know where you're going to be.
No, you can't. And I understand the complexity of goal setting, and I do set goals, but I'll never set goals for like more than a year away.
Yeah.
Because we don't know where we're going to be. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if a pandemic's going to come. You don't know if someone's going to pass away. You don't know what, like, there could be a million different things.
Do you have any system for breaking down and setting goals?
No, I literally just open a notebook that actually John got me every day between Christmas and New Year and just write a list of what I think is achievable in that next year at a very pushed boundary where, like, I can, like, on paper it sounds just above what it should be.
Mm.
So I know there's an extra 1% or extra 10% of what I think the limits are.
When you look at it, is like, this scares me, or how do you know you've set a good goal for yourself?
Yeah, that's it, man. Even like speaking in public scares me. So I set goals to just do like 3 things where I can speak in public.
Really?
Like, coming on a podcast scares me.
Does it really?
Yeah, dude.
Why?
Like, it's just not natural to me. And obviously the more you do it, the better you get. Like, and I love doing it now.
Yeah. Well, for me, walking in a fashion show would be very uncomfortable.
Like, we all have differences, right?
Yeah. So other than attacking your weaknesses, what other ways can you get better at doing the things that you don't like to do or that scare you?
Ooh, literally by just doing them. You've got to do them, man. You got to realize, like, you might be embarrassed by them yourself, but other people around you don't give a fuck. No one cares, dude.
Yeah.
Literally no one gives a fuck if you've got to talk in front of 50 people or 1,000 people or you're going to say something wrong. Like, nobody else really cares. It's all inside, right?
What has been the public speaking that you've done that has been most effective and that you felt best about?
That's a tough one. I don't know. I think going on my first podcast was probably the hardest one, actually. Yeah. Like, the nerves and the lead up to it and stuff like that. And now it's just like, I actually really enjoy it.
Yeah. I think the first time we do anything, it freaks us out.
Right.
I remember putting my face out on camera was something that I never did.
Yeah.
And I felt so uncomfortable with, but I was interviewing Gary Vaynerchuk. So I was like, I got to do it. Like, I don't have a choice.
Right.
So when you don't have a choice, it's like, all right.
And then you do it and people love it.
Like, and then it's not a big deal.
Right.
And that's in the back of your head and you don't, nothing happened.
And it's done. I was like that, man. Even like on Instagram, like, I never wanted to post pictures of myself.
Really?
Like, talking or like didn't like listening to my own voice, and I never wanted to make a YouTube channel for so many years because I didn't know what people would expect, or if like the way I'm perceived on Instagram is different to the way I'm perceived on YouTube, where I'm actually talking and it's real life. But I think like when you grow to the maturity level of understanding that you are who you are, and whether people like it or not, like that is you. So just do it.
And that's confidence. Exactly. Confidence is being okay with, you don't like me? Well, that's part of life.
Yeah.
And I like myself, so it's all good.
Right. As long as you like yourself, you'll be fine.
So you started putting yourself out on YouTube as well. I watched the documentary, yeah. Unbelievable. Then also you do a series, right, where you train. Right.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Like, what,
it's so cool.
What inspired that?
Honestly, like when I started off, like I was looking for people who were in the fashion industry who I could watch and learn from, and there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. And like, it really irritated me that I couldn't find these golden nuggets where like, this is how you run a team. This is the team that you need. This is the factories you need. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to do to source. This is how you get into fashion week. There was none of that information available. So like me as a younger version of myself, like a 20-year-old kid going on YouTube and being able to type in like represent behind the scenes, like if they want to aspire to be like us now, they can see everything we do, full transparency. They can see where I'm going, what I'm doing, how I'm living, like what the brand is. Like for me, it's an opportunity for other people to build brands and live a way that like they believe is going to be their mission. Like there's no monetary value in it. Like it doesn't make sense to do it. Like it cost me a lot of money, cost me a lot of time, cost me a lot of resource, cost me a lot of flights and figuring things out, but it's there forever. Like it's there for people to learn from, and like the community love it, and it's just a great thing.
What advice do you have for young kids on the come up who want to build a fashion brand? I'm sure you get that question all the time,
yeah.
But to add a nuance to it, let's say the person is into fitness as well and is inspired by you, not just as a,
yeah,
as a fashion brand, but also in the fitness realm.
Like I'm laying a blueprint out there for them. There's a book, there's podcasts, there's like, I'm doing this today for that kid.
Yeah.
Like it's all here. And like, whoever it is that you're inspired by, go and follow them on Instagram, go and find their YouTube, go and find their podcast. Like everyone's doing it. Everyone's letting everyone know how they get into places, what they're doing to get there. And like, why not? Why not share like the opportunities with the world?
Beautiful. Number 15 stuck out to me. Be a nice person. The world doesn't need any more unpleasant people. Push yourself.
Are you asking me what that means?
I know what it means. I wanted to highlight it. And also, was there ever a moment when you weren't a nice person, or as a whole, you wouldn't describe yourself as, yeah, that? And what went into the transformation?
Definitely, man. Like, as a young business owner, I was always angry because product wasn't right, angry because the team wasn't right, angry because we weren't doing the right things, and that would turn my mood from being a nice person to not being a nice person. And I think it's when you reach a level of maturity, like you said, that you can realize it's in you. Like I'm angry because product's not coming right, but the reason that product's not coming right is because I've not found the right factories. Mm-hmm. Or the reason the team's acting a different way is because I acted that way. Or like, because I'm not being nice, that's why they're not being nice. So it swings and roundabouts, but it's all in yourself. I believe you got to hold yourself accountable for everything.
I love that. How do you reconcile then, like with Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, two people who Tim Grover highlights?
Yeah.
They were known. I don't know Kobe specifically, but I know Michael was a dick and he was not a nice person to his team to get the most out of them.
Right.
Like, how do you draw that line between pushing people and also being nice?
I think it's very different in sports to actual business. You got to remember, they're not the business guys in that sport. Like they are put on that ground to win the game. They're like a, I don't know how you say it. If it's an army, they're the front man. Mm. They've got to be that way. They've got to be aggressive. They've got to be like, they're there to scare the team, the opposite team. Like they've got to be that way. And you can take nuggets from that and like use it within yourself. But it's a different game playing building a business.
Do you think it's because in sports there's a winner and a loser, right. And in business there's you can win as a fashion company, right. And there's other fashion companies that could also win mm-hmm. as well yeah. with you.
And yeah, definitely. But there is also, like, in the market space, there's going to be people who are trying to take you down, and you've got to have, I think you've got to have that mentality with the relentless drive, and you've got to still have that anger inside you, but you don't need to outlay it. You don't need to like push that onto the team. You don't need to display that on social media. You got to use that as fuel to fire you to go even further.
Last time we spoke about competition, and it really stuck with me because you talked about how competition's good and it's supposed to drive you, and it's something that's incredibly beneficial if you use it. Don't not look at your competition, like actually look at it and let it fuel you.
100%. And like, I know a lot of people say you should never look at competition and like there's no competitors, but dude, that'll push you way beyond the beliefs that you had, especially if they're doing better than you. If you're looking at someone that's way ahead of you, then you've got some fuel there to go ahead and do that, because you know that opportunity is actually already there. Like, someone's already done it, so you can do it.
What are you running towards?
The question is like, what is the mission, right? I just want to build the best brand in the world.
In the world?
In the world.
Dude, who is the best brand in the world right now?
I don't know.
Forget fashion, just like in general, who do you consider the top brands?
Ooh. Not just in fashion.
Mm-hmm. Because best brand in the world.
Maybe Apple is the best brand in the world.
I was just going to say Apple. Yeah. Why were you going to say Apple?
Just the way everything is done is like absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. Like the way, just even like the headquarters, the ecosystem, the way like the employees are treated, the way like everything runs in the store, the complexity of it is really hidden when you walk into that store, and it's just like, here's the product on a wooden table behind glass. You get someone over, they get that product out the back for you. You don't see what's in the back and you're out. Like, that's insane. Like, to do that at such a big scale that they're at is like unbelievable.
How have you taken anything from Apple and applied it to your brand, if you have it all?
Yeah, in that way. Like when we do pop-up stores, like I want to make sure it's seamless. Like, there's a way a customer should walk in. There's the things that they should see when they're in there. We shouldn't overcrowd it. We should do it in a certain way. And like, this is how smooth the transaction should be. Even online, like our website is not modeled from other fashion brands. There's so many different elements from other brands and like things in different spaces that we can take things from and put into our site to make it like seamless.
Dude, I saw a video of that pop-up store.
And get a bit chaotic, right?
And I'm like, oh my God, this isn't just a brand. This is a movement.
Yeah.
This is people who are willing to go outside their house, wait in line. It literally looks like a concert.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, isn't it?
How in the world does that happen?
I don't know. We talk about it every single time we do it. We're like, is anyone going to turn up? And then thousands of people are queuing up outside, like camping out. I think it's just, again, going back to like our personalities and being true to ourselves and like building this brand and giving way more than what the cost is. Mm. Like the quality of the product, the mission behind the brand and like what we do and what we give is like way more value than what it's worth.
What creates connection to a brand in general?
I think it's like now I think it's a personality. I think it's who's behind the brand. I think it's who the team is. And like, I always say it, man, like I reply to every single DM, every single customer, like, because they can get that sense of like community and just getting a bit of your time. All you're doing is giving them a few seconds of your time. And they love you for that. They love the brand. They come back. Like, it's the best way of marketing.
I'm sure you're just walking around your business, your day, and you get recognized. How, break that interaction down for me and you getting recognized and people stopping you and what do you see in their eyes when someone comes up to you and is like, thank you?
Yeah. Do you know what? We had it last night, actually. It was an event called Waterpalooza, and these guys came over and they were like, George, we fucking made a brand because you made a brand.
Wow.
Like, they were like, we literally built our brand because of Represent. And like, they were so appreciative. And the conversation is obviously so easy then, because they're just a younger version of yourself. And you just got to give them a tap on the back and say, keep going, man.
Wow. It's a phenomenal feeling of like, you gave them that impact.
Yeah.
And then I think the greatest thing you can do for someone is to help create some that they created something on their own.
Yeah.
Right. So like, when someone listens to this podcast and then they create something from it, that to me says it hit them at a deep level.
Dude, 100%.
Because not only do you just do it or listen to it, you also then build something of your own after listening.
Right.
That means I did my job. And so for you, someone looks at you and your story and is like, all right, I want to go create my own brand.
Yeah. It's the best thing, man. Like, that's why, like I said, that's why we do the YouTube. Like, we can help other people win at life, like, just by showing what we do and how we can win. And I know, like, people say, like, you get to a certain level where all you want to do is give back. But I feel like we give back so much, and it's great to see, like, people do that stuff. Like, it makes you feel so good. Better than anything. Better than any amount of money you could make. Like, being able to give off that influence to someone and they take it and do their own thing is fucking amazing.
Amazing. What does winning at life look like for George Heenan?
Ooh. I'll let you know when I get there, man. I think it's just having the ability to, like, just love yourself, bro.
Mm.
Like, there's so many things that can come into play with it, but I think if you can genuinely sit there and say, like, I've enjoyed it, I'm enjoying it, and I love the mission that I'm on, and, like, I couldn't think of doing anything else, then you're winning at life, right?
Absolutely.
Do you feel like you're living at life, winning at life?
Bro, when you wake up every day and you're like, oh my God, I get to talk to this person, yeah, or I get to learn this about this, like, it blows my mind.
Dude, and that, like, people that say, like, how do you wake up so early? Bro, because I've got my fucking best friends with me. We're building the best brand in the world. I get to do what I want to do. Like, I get to live the life I want to live. Of course, as soon as that alarm goes off, I'm up. I've got things to do.
Okay, so someone's listening to this right now and they're not in that position.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing we're experiencing is the minority.
Right.
And most people are living in, that alarm goes off. Oh, I have another day.
Fucking day.
What do you tell that person? What are the first few steps we can point them to?
I think it's about putting yourself first. I think it's about, I don't know, it sounds cliche, but train the body. Train the body as much as you can, because that will help with your mind. Like, you can get rid of anxiety through training, through health, through sunlight, through all these different things. There's so many things out there you can listen to, like, and take little things from it and actually, like, put it into yourself, and you'll see such a big difference in your life. And it'll just help you focus more. It'll help you get to where you want to be. And it's a long process, and I don't by any means say just go and do all these things at once, but just start implementing into your life and it'll pay off.
I think what trips up a lot of people is they see you doing all the things. They see you reading, they see you,
right,
they see you building the brand, they see you working out, but it all started with one step, mm-hmm, one step at a time. And what it is today isn't going to be what it's going to become, right, someday. So I think that's great advice.
Yeah, and I think you got to realize that when you're watching someone who's way further ahead than you.
Yeah.
Like, I do it myself with entrepreneurs and with business guys and with athletes, and I'm like, fuck, I want to be there.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a long time. So as long as you know that, like, the process is long, and if you're nowhere near where you want to be yet, you just got to ride it out. Let it play. Let's go.
Yeah, because when you're building that thing, that is also the win in and of itself.
Exactly right.
Who are you looking at and being like, oh, I see that person. I like where they're at.
That's a tough question as well. I say everything's tough, but like, I take things from all different areas, bro.
Of course.
I take things from you. I take things from Joe Rogan. I'll take things from Andrew Huberman. Mm. I'll take things from David Goggins. I'll take things from my brother. I'll take things from John over there. I'll take things from literally everyone, whether it's my dad, whether it's my nan. Like, yeah, there's so much stuff in everyone around you that, like, you don't need to just choose to be that person.
Yeah. People ask me all the time, who's your favorite podcaster or who's the podcast you try to emulate? And I give them a list of 5 to 7 people.
Right, right, right.
Like, I'm a combination of all those if I'm doing it right.
Right. Exactly, man. I think that's the way to be. I fully believe that's the way to be.
Because people will imprint on you for different reasons. You'll like the way Huberman discusses this, and you'll like the way Rogan right. does that, and you'll like the way that John does this.
And when you do all that, like, you're creating your unique self.
Exactly.
You don't just look like that one person. You've got 5 of these different attributes from all different areas of the world.
Yeah. And there are people out there, I'm sure, who are trying to copy and be just George Heaton. But don't just be George Heaton.
Yeah.
Be George Heaton plus 17 other people, and then that'll be unique.
Yeah.
But I also think sometimes we look at someone who's just trying to be George Heaton, and we say, ah, well, like, they're wrong for doing that, but maybe they just haven't found enough examples to
100%
to help themselves.
I would never look at that person and say, like, don't do this, don't copy this. Like, they just got to find their foot. Like, I was like that as a kid. I was always wanting to be this brand. And then 6 months later, I wanted to be this brand or this guy who was creating this brand. And it's like, you get stuck in these ways of, like, trying to be everyone else. And then you realize, actually, you could just do a bit of everything.
And it's through copying that you create yourself.
Dude, 100%.
You need to copy first in order to get to the place where you can create a new version of yourself. Right,
definitely. Especially in fashion, like, everyone's copying everyone. Like, it's not a secret. Like, people look at runways, fast fashion, take runways and have it done quicker than the actual brand that they watched. And and that just is what it is. But if you want to build a really true brand that's going to stand the test of time, you got to find yourself.
Hmm. Can you explain to me why people are so hyped after they get off the fashion runway? I was watching that on the documentary and I was like, dude, they look so excited right now. They just walked a runway and I'm like, there's something I'm missing here. What's going on there?
I think it's just the buildup. It's literally like 6 months buildup to 15 seconds.
Oh my God.
And then after that 15 seconds, it's like, there's the release. There's the dopamine release. Like, it's done. It's over. Like,
I'm like, these people look like they're having the best time in the world. And I love it. But I just didn't get it. It makes sense, though.
It's
like, what's going into that 6 months?
Preparation is just crazy for something like that.
How? Like,
even just building the collection out to get it to that point where then it can go on the runway, and then all the production, PR, and everything that goes into that runway for such a short amount of time that, like, people sit down and watch it. 2 minutes later, they get off and go. Like, all that for that such a small moment in time is just crazy.
How do you know if you did it well or not?
I guess articles that get released. Mm. Press, buyers, stores that want to take the brand on, everything.
And then have those runways that you've been excited, like, you're so hyped that it's over, and then the articles come out and they're not good. Has that happened before?
We've not had, like, bad articles come out, but there's been times where we've not got the press that we wanted. Mm. And it's quite, at the moment in time, it's like, oh, fuck. But it just makes you go harder next time, right?
Yeah, the setbacks. Yeah. So take me through the setbacks. People, everyone who's listening to this has experienced setbacks and will experience setbacks in the future. How does George Heaton deal with setbacks?
Take them day by day. Like, I had some times of the business where, like, I didn't want to do it anymore because it was just setback, 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 setback. And then I believe that that's what builds it, man. Like, you've got to have that to realize that, like, I know they say the best view of heaven is from hell. And I fully believe that. Like, you've got to go to hell. There's no way you can just start a business as a kid and it just go like this.
Straight up into the right.
As long as it can. Like, that does not happen. It is a crazy roller coaster. And if you can understand that that's where you find, like, the fun in it and where you grow the most, then you're on for a good ride.
It takes the going down and realizing that it doesn't break you in order to realize that, oh, this is not so bad. Like, I'm going down right now, but there's going to be a brighter day in the future.
Yeah, like, having the belief for the brighter day is probably a hard thing when you're at the bottom, but it's like a muscle. You break a muscle down, you recover it, right? You got to keep chipping away.
Absolutely. Well, one thing that's really helped you is not drinking alcohol. And you talk about you've tweeted before, once you stop drinking alcohol for a long period of time, you realize there's absolutely zero benefits to it. You also struggle to even stomach it again once your body is used to being without it.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like,
when did you make that decision?
It was like during like the COVID era, because we weren't going out, we weren't doing things. Like, I kind of just really locked in and focused on what I wanted to be and who I wanted to be. And that didn't involve drinking. Like, I have no fear of missing out on anything, like, ever. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm doing my own thing. Like, whoever comes into my life, whatever happens to my life, like, it's my control. I don't need to go out there and search for things and drink and try and party and, like, do that kind of stuff, because I've done it, man. I've been there. I've done it. I'm 29 now. I feel like I've lived 100 years already. Like, I've been there. I've done that. It's the same thing. Like, if I went and did it last night, I would have gone, oh, this is the same shit.
Dude, I went out last weekend, and after on that Sunday, I said to myself, what am I doing?
Yeah.
This is not in alignment with the person that I want to be, right? And it really hit me.
Yeah, and when you start thinking like that, then you stop doing it.
Yes.
And that's the maddest thing. Like, you don't, once you stop going back to it, then it is what it is. Like, it's just one of them things you don't need.
I just drew from that well because I was like, maybe it'll be different this time. Maybe
but that happens. Like, that happens to me. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I'm never going out again. Like, dude, I will end up going out again, but it has to be the right time, the right place, and be in the right mindset and stuff.
Yeah. And I also think there's something too with people you respect and admire going out or having an experience with people who are building you and are helping you.
Right, exactly.
When it's that versus, you know, just like random people or no connection to you, it's way different, at least from my experience.
Yeah, man, like I would never, even pre not drinking really, I would never go out with people that weren't my closest friends. Like, you're there to have a good time with your friends. Like, I don't know.
yeah, respect. On that topic, kind of like, one thing, someone mentioned or asked you a question on Twitter about women.
Yeah.
And
oh, God. Uh-oh.
And you were like, honestly, that's not my strongest suit or strongest point. Yeah, no.
Fully admit that. I'm not great with women.
But
I'm not great with women. I've never like approached a girl. Like, I'm so bad at that kind of stuff. I need to get better at it.
Well, you probably don't need to approach girls when you're running one of the coolest fashion brands in the world.
Nice, you got it, man. Yeah, I need to get better at that. That's one of my things I need to work on this year, definitely.
How do you go about working on that?
I think you just gotta step into the darkness and like approach like strangers. I guess that's the way to do it.
I think it's hard when you value yourself so highly.
Yeah.
When you're like, I know I'm worth a lot. Right. Like, I know I put in work to my body, my mind, my soul. I know I'm doing all the things that make me happy. Now I have to seek somebody who's also on that same wavelength or trying to achieve. Like, how do you think about that?
I don't know. I'm in that place now. I don't know if you go and seek it or like you wait for it to come to you, or like, is it one of them things that will happen naturally? Like, in humanity, like in the human race, like, men chase women. Like, they always have done. It's always been a thing since humans evolved. But I don't know, man. I'm stuck at that one. It's hard. What about you? Have you got a girlfriend?
I had a girlfriend. I'm in this position of like, I know, I believe I'm worth a lot.
Yeah.
And because of that, I value the people I spend time with a lot. Right. And I want them to equally care about their life. And it's hard. Like, seeking.
Yeah, of course, it's going to be hard to find that person, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially when you value yourself. And especially when you're doing the things that are making you value yourself.
And you know what? I think like, the more time you spend on your own and the more time you spend conversating with other people like we're doing today, like you're doing a lot of, then that conversation with that girl who you've met at a bar or something is not what you want, not what you're looking for, because your mind's open to all these different things and you go and meet this person who's only lived here and only done this and only done that. It's like, On to the next. Do it again. Will you find it? I don't know. Everyone seems to anyway.
It seems to work out over a long enough time horizon. I think Rogan met his wife at a diner or something like that. Really? So it's like, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. We're still young. Yeah. Like, we got a lot of time ahead of us.
29, 27.
Yeah.
What, when you're turning 39, what will you have looked back and say, this was a successful decade?
Whoa. I don't know how to answer that. What will I look back at when I'm 39 and say the last 10 years has been successful? Mm-hmm. I don't really know where I'll be in 2 years. So in 10 years, I really don't know.
Okay, so let's make it easier. In one year, what will have you look back at 2023 and been like, all right, this was a successful year for George Eden?
Well, I've already planned out our calendar in the business and our drop schedule and our pop-up stores and our activations and all the things that I want to do this year. And if I can get all them things done, I will look back at it and go, fuck, we did it again. We like did as much as we can. We went as hard as we can. We had that relentless drive and the team got bigger, the team got stronger, and everything just got better.
How do you recommend people look out at their 2023 and be like, this is how I should plan it out?
I'd set a few goals that are very stretched for before the end of year, and then really just work on it day by day. I believe in the power list. Write down three to seven things, whatever it may be that you need to do that day. Them things can be as simple as going to the gym on the first few days, but you don't need to go to the gym after 3 months because you're already going to the gym. But as long as you can keep instilling them little things into your daily life, then you'll get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I want to highlight that. The power list is something I believe Andy Frisella started talking about. And the purpose of it is to put on things that are above the things that will, doing things that will expand you.
Right.
And doing things that you might have to push yourself to do in the beginning stages. Yeah. But after it becomes routine, then you remove those things.
Exactly. You change them, and then obviously the power list stays at like 5 points or whatever it is, but you're already doing 50 points of what it was 6 months ago.
Right. If you're building on it.
Exactly. And I think a shout out to Andy Frisella. He's like pushed me a lot in business, which is amazing.
How? Like what's the just biggest few things that he's given you?
The power list, 75 hard. The way he is relentlessly driven within his own business at such a scale. Like there's so many things that I've taken from him and like I appreciate from him. That like has made my life and my business so much better. Like I owe him a lot, and I know a lot of people owe him a lot. There's thousands of people that have done 75 hard and it's changed their life, and like I don't think he realizes the influence he has on people.
Yeah, I think likewise, you probably don't realize the influence you have on people, because it can get overwhelming, right? Like if you start, and it's overwhelming, and also it can stop your hunger in a way. If you're sitting there and you're like, well, I've helped all these people, like, look at me, I'm amazing, which Andy Frisella is not going to do. But if you do start thinking like that, you can start getting complacent.
Yeah, you probably lose it. Yeah, I don't think he'll ever lose it. He's one of them guys that's just stuck into it.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that about him.
What could derail you?
Nothing at this point. I don't believe anything at this point. Like I'm fully into this thing, and I'll be fully into this thing for as long as I know.
Why do you feel like you were like destined to be here? Do you believe in something greater?
No, I actually don't. I believe in aliens.
You did.
I love alien stories. I love alien stuff. Like, I believe there's different universes out there with humanity on and people that are way more advanced than us. And I even think that like there was past times from like the ancient humans that had been civilized further than us, which is like really gets me going and kind of defies religion. So that's why I don't really believe in any religion.
Mm. Why do aliens really get you going like that?
I think it's just one of them things that like you don't know exists. Like no one's giving you firm evidence that it exists, so it turns you on to like believe in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but it religion's the same way. No,
it is, but it also can get proven wrong.
Mm.
Like I don't know. I feel like there's so many different ways of like humans evolving that actually mean that certain things didn't happen within these religions. Maybe they were just written to keep order. Maybe they were just written to like keep everyone under like not a spell, but like this influence where like this is what you believe in, this is who you are, and you got to be part of that. But I don't know. I have no clue. I'm open to anything.
How much does being the CEO of a brand like this like impact the things you say and the things you're willing to say publicly?
I'm just being myself.
Yeah.
Like I'm being my humble self. Like I just talk how I want to talk, and maybe one day I'll get a lot of backlash for that. I don't know. Depends how like big of an influence I become. But yeah, like people now prove that that is the way to be. Like Joe Rogan is himself.
Yes.
Andy Frisella is himself. You are yourself. I'm myself. Like I don't need to be apologetic for that.
Absolutely not. And have you ever felt like you were censoring a piece of yourself? And if so, how do you?
No, not at all.
That's
not
amazing.
And
why not?
Because I am who I am. And like, I can listen to things and I can believe things. I don't have to put it out there. I'm not one of them people that talks all day on Twitter or like says this is wrong and this is right. I don't care for a lot of things. Like it doesn't matter to me.
Love it. What do most people not understand about George Eden?
That I've not always been this way.
Hmm.
Like it took a long time. It took a long time. It took a big switch.
I know what you mean by this way, but what do you mean by this way?
Just like the drive that I have now and the journey that I'm on, like this took a lot of hard work. And going back to the question before about what would you tell a younger version of yourself, like it's hard. It's very hard. You got to really lean into the hard things and kind of like try your best to enjoy that journey. And eventually you will. Like it took me 8 years to start enjoying it. Like I really didn't enjoy it for a long time.
Enjoy the building the brand?
Yeah. Building the brand.
Wow. So, that's wild to me. What was the moment you started enjoying it?
Going to the depths of hell with it and like getting to the point where like the business could maybe no longer exist. Wow. And like this could all be over and I'd have to do something else. Like at that point, that's when my mindset changed and I was like, I've got to do this now. Like there's no fucking plan B. There's zero option mentality. Like this is it. It's 100% or nothing.
Wow.
And that was the point that actually changed me. Yeah.
What year was that?
2018, 19. Yeah.
And then it's like every moment from then has been like, I'm in it. I'm fully in it. Yeah. And I'm fully invested.
That's the number one priority of everything. Yeah.
And most people probably look at you and say like, oh, he's been loving every moment of it since day one.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it looks like that from the outside. Right.
Yeah.
But I think like doing this with you now, I can tell my story and say to people that it isn't like that. And everyone has that time where they don't want to do it. I think you just got to get over it or you got to move on from it and you got to do whatever it is you got to do.
And it's funny because the brand took crazy levels of growth in that time of you really committing.
Right.
And you loving it.
And why did it take that much growth? Because I committed. Because I did the things that needed to get done. Everything works hand in hand with myself and the brand.
What were the things that you didn't want to do that you did and that changed the game?
Become more of a personality. That was a big thing.
Mm.
Put myself out there a lot more. Like the self-development side of it boosted the business so much better. And just being able to talk to people in the right way, being able to lay out foundations and set new goals and just become a whole better brand through becoming a better person.
In what ways have you brought self-development into the brand?
Through myself, through my brother, the way we go about our day and how we do that kind of stuff is just instilled as a mindset throughout the business.
Hmm. What parts of your journey get glossed over more than they should?
What do you mean by glossed over?
Like people overlook.
What parts of the journey do people overlook? I don't think, not many, bro. Like, obviously we spend 10 hours a day in an office, like working on things that no one gets to see, and you forget to pick your phone up for 4 hours, and you could have posted all this cool stuff about like what you're making, but you just forget, and like time passes like that. You're like, you don't even sit down, and you blink and it's 6 p.m. and you're like, oh, like that day was just crazy. Like people overlook that, like the amount of things that go on in a day in a business that size, and I can't imagine what it's like if I was 10 times the size. Like the amount of things that go on within the business now compared to like 4 years ago is just crazy.
What's the current size of the business?
In terms of people, we're just under 60 people in the headquarters.
You know, when we spoke last time, you know what it was?
I'm guessing around 20.
Yeah, it was 25. Wow. 25 and three in Milan, I think. Yeah. So 28 total.
Yeah.
So doubled in a year and a half that we spoke.
More than double, yeah.
What's the difference between going from 25 to 60?
For me, it's like giving away a lot of things, which is great. So I recently hired a CEO to take on the role of the things that I don't like doing. And like, not that I don't like doing them, but I'm not good at them. And as the business grows, I can't give all my resource to these things that need it. So I want to position myself in this creative director role where I can fully focus on the brand image and the brand product. So I gave away like the numbers, the business, the B2B, the wholesale, the online. Like, I'm not a good guy with that stuff. I'm a creative person. I look at spreadsheets and I'm like, asleep. And I know a lot of creative people say the same thing, but really doing that switch for me was like a big change, a huge change in my business.
You mentioned, obviously, you're more creative than anything else. What goes into somebody who's creative? Like, how does somebody who's creative get the most out of themselves?
I think it's by spending a lot of time thinking. I think creatives need so much more time than what everyone else needs to just sit and think. Like, that's such a big thing. Like, your best ideas come when you're sat all alone, you're not on your phone, you're thinking about things, you've done your research, and now it's time to just, like, think. I fully believe, like, that's the moments when things happen.
We started this conversation talking about being alone and the importance of solitude and the importance of nothingness.
Because if you're busy all the time, how have you got time to create? If things are always coming at you in different questions and different decisions you got to make, like, it drains your mind. Like, over the Christmas break, I don't do anything. I just train and sit and think. And I get so much out of it because I come back into the office on the 1st of January and I get so many, like, things thrown at me and questions and decisions and stuff like that, that like by 6 p.m. I'm done. I'm like, fuck, what's just gone on? I can't then go home and think and create. Like, you need that time.
The guy I had just on before, Elliot Biznow, talked about he spent time with Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson.
What's his profession?
He runs Summit Series, which is a group event, and he's had just some of the biggest speakers in the world there. Interviewed Kobe Bryant.
Nice.
And he talked about the similarities between Bezos and Branson and Eric Schmidt, the Google CEO, is that he hasn't seen any of them use their phone. So he doesn't know if any of them have a phone. Why? Because they're so present and they're so focused and on the moment. And that's just a wild concept, because it's like, if the top of the top of the top of the world are not using their phone and they're more busy than the rest of us, like, what makes us think that using our phone at all hours is going to create the best results?
Because there's a difference between the person who is doing the thing and the consumer. And the consumer is constantly watching and looking and trying to figure it out. And I'm sure them guys, before they were at what the levels that they're at now, they were on the phones because they got to figure it out. But when you get to a level where you don't need to check your emails, you don't need to look at Instagram, you don't need to do this, then you're present. You're so present. Like, what a feeling that would be.
Yeah. It's almost like escaping
the
system. Definitely. In a way.
You can put your full energy into that thing that's right in front of you that isn't a phone.
Talk to me about sleep. Is that important for you? How much do you get?
100%.
What's your sleep schedule like?
I sleep 8 hours a night, like non-negotiable. If I can't get my 8 hours because I've got to do something late, I'm not going to train in the morning. because I want to recover and I want that maximum amount of time that I can to recover. So like 8 p.m. it's lights out for me.
Wow.
Yeah. it's a bit sad, but and I'm a great sleeper. Like as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm done.
Cause you put in the work.
Yeah. No. It's not only feeling. Because I put in the work, but because I drain myself through the day. Like I work out hard in the morning and I'm in business all day. Come home, eat. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's what I mean by the work. It's all the work to me. Like when you're doing the things daily that are going to drain you, you're gonna go to sleep easier.
Yeah. The only times when I realize I'm not sleeping well is when I actually take a break. Because you've got more energy inside you, but like when you go into bed and you got all these things going on that you don't like, you're not drained of it, so you're not gonna sleep.
If my mind's running at night, it's often a sign that I didn't do the things that I was supposed to during the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strange one. I got asked that question a few days ago where it was like how do you like switch off at night? Like what happens if something comes on or comes up that you've got to attend to? And I'm just like, nothing comes up. Like I make sure nothing's going to come up. Like the day is done by this time. Like unless it's a family emergency, like nothing needs to come up. It doesn't matter. It can always get handled thereafter.
When we spoke last time, you talked about how you wake up and you check your phone right away, like to see the latest in the factories and check the messages from employees or whatever. Well, do you still do that practice? How has your phone usage evolved, if at all?
I still do that. I'm not going to lie. And I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I don't look at my phone for 2 hours when I wake up and I get sunlight into my retina straight away. I can't do that. I live in England. It's dark till 9 a.m. and it's dark from 5 p.m. So I don't really get a lot of daylight in the winter. But it doesn't affect me because I'm busy and doing things and like I've got things to do. But I do check my phone in the mornings, of course.
Yeah, no, I think that's good for people to hear because it's like you can be successful and do it this way. And also,
right.
Like the common narrative is like, can't check your phone first hour of the day. But like, what if that's beneficial for you?
Yeah. What if you want to get that shit cleared before you go and do anything else?
Maybe that's the thing in your mind that you just need to get out of the way before you go on your run.
Or maybe you didn't do it the night before, so you want to just get it done.
Yeah. So take me through the first hour of your day. It's check some messages.
Yeah, I wake up, brush my teeth, put my gym clothes on, go downstairs, I'll make a coffee. I know people say don't have a coffee for 90 minutes. I'm having a coffee, man. I got to work out.
Attaboy.
I'll make a coffee. I'll check my phone. I've written up my workout from either the day before or I'll go to a class where there's a workout on. I'll hit the gym. I usually train from like 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock. And then if I'm done by six, I will hit the sauna, have a cold shower, make my breakfast, get to the office by 8 a.m.
Sounds like a hell of a morning.
Yeah.
Got more done in the morning there than most people do in the entire day.
And I usually get like an hour in of solid work before people get to my office and before it becomes chaos. So I get that like good amount of work done.
It's beautiful. Talk to me about the collaboration you guys did with Iman Ghazi. How'd that come about?
It actually isn't a collaboration.
No way.
Where's the product?
No way.
Yeah. I saw him tag the post and I was like, oh, that's good. This is a cool guy.
I was like, oh, is this must be a sponsored,
And I liked the content. And I was like, oh, can I post this, bro? He's like, yeah, sure.
Wow. That's so cool.
I guess it leads back to that tweet.
Yeah.
Like there's so many cool people wearing rap and it's just like, thank you. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. Does it surprise you?
It's great to see it. Things surprise me, especially when like Diddy posts it on New Year's Eve. Like, why? Like, great. Thanks, man. I love that.
What's your reaction when Diddy it posts that?
I was just like, I actually just text John and I was like, dude, did you send him this? He's like, no. Sick. That was it.
It's so wild.
Yeah.
Like, it really is something that other people around the world, no matter what position they're in, are saying to themselves, that's an awesome piece of clothing.
They can wear anything. P. Diddy has the money to wear whatever he wants. And he'll wear represent, which is amazing. I do have a hit list of who I want in it, though.
Anything you want to discuss?
Just Joe Rogan. I just want Joe Rogan to wear an Owners Club hoodie on his show. Like, it'd be amazing. And I know he wears all his friends' brands, like the coffee companies and stuff, and I'm not his friend yet. But maybe we'll become friends.
Dude, I get compliments on that sweatshirt more than anything I've ever worn.
Oh, really?
So people are like, yo, that's sick. Nice. Yo, that's... And I'm like, yeah, I don't have the eye to pick this out, right. But George picked it out for me. George got this for me.
Love that, man.
And it's cool because people are like, wait, the owner of this sent you that? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, yeah. But like...
I think it's like we've built product that is recognizable. Like it looks a certain way that doesn't, the other product doesn't look like that. So like we can spot it from a mile away. And like, it's like, oh, there's a represent. You can tell with the little metal bar or the way the neck sits and the armhole. And that's just through years of just trying to get things to a point where we want it to be.
But the crazy thing is, to the untrained eye, me, it doesn't look that different to a regular black sweatshirt.
Right.
But then like I notice like myself will be like, ah, there's something subtly different, and I don't know enough don't about know
what it is,
like,
but it is.
It's like me listening to a podcast right. Being like, oh, I know that dude is doing the craft well. Yeah. Right. So like what is so different about that black sweatshirt?
Going back to the quality thing, like it's there. You can tell. You can see the quality in it. You can see the way it's been stitched. You can see the little metal bar detailing that sets it apart from everyone else's. And that's all there is to it. Like these little pinpoints where you just constantly adjust and refine to get it to the right point. And then you get it to that right point and it does wonders.
What are you most proud of?
Within the business? I'm most proud of my brother, actually. That guy can just design. I can't do what he does. Like I'm get it in, get it going. He's just like sit back, meticulous, can just design for 5 days straight on one thing. Doesn't even eat a meal, just gets it done. And I'm like, whoa, how the fuck are you doing that? So probably that.
And what are you most proud of personally?
Just where I'm at today. Like I've envisioned myself to be this guy a few years ago. So it's beautiful to like become that person. And it might sound a bit like fucking self, I don't know what it is, but just like crafting yourself into who you want to be and getting there and then like doing it again.
Yeah. It doesn't sound any way to me. It sounds inspiring. It sounds cool. And it sounds like that's a guy who really is putting in the work to be the person that he wants to be.
Yeah. That's what I love about it. Like, seeing them marginal gains that compound over time and like it actually happening, like even visually, like I used to like had this vision of how I wanted to look, and then when you get there it's like, damn, like you can actually do this.
How do you visualize things?
Usually I draw a mental picture in my head, and I make mood boards and stuff online, and like and that's it really, and just keep thinking about it all the time, like think like, who is it? Like, who is that person? How, like, what does he look like? What does he react like? How does he speak to people? Like, if you want to be an elite version of who you are now, you've got to start living that way to become that way.
Absolutely. With the mood board, what goes into that? What app do you use?
I use an iPad for like all my sketches and stuff. So there's a program on there called Procreate, which is kind of like Photoshop for iPads. And I just pull images from different places and, yeah, it's just a cool mood board. Like, it's got things on it like houses and stuff like that. Just things that I love and like that I aspire to get one day.
The island's still on there?
The island's still on there. Isle of Angels, man. I actually saw it on YouTube again the other day. I was like, fuck, there's that island again. It's saying something. But it's not all like material things, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more like, for me, it's business. Business is number one before anything. Like,
why?
Although cars and houses are cool, like, no, I'd rather build a business.
Why is business number one?
Because it's legacy, isn't it? You're like leaving something behind and you're giving this thing to all these people. Like they, like we said earlier, there's 60 people in the business at this moment. Like they have families. There's people in there with mortgages and families and people they look after. Like I've got to look after them before me. Mm. Everything should become before me within, in terms of like monetary. But I still put a lot of time into myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You just got your first tattoo, right?
I did, yeah.
Why?
Actually, I got three in like a month.
No way. Yeah. Tell me about them.
Only little ones. The first one was the new represent logo, which is called the initial on the back of my neck. And we struggled for so many years trying to figure out like what we could have that means represent. We tried so many different images and animals and things like that. And then one day Mike created this initial that was like, this just mean this R just stands for us. And like, it looks like you can tell it's represented. And it'll take many years for it to like fully embed into the business. But like, I love it. I love the logo. So we both got that tattooed as our first tattoo at like 29 and 31, so, which for like designers and stuff, like everyone was fully tattooed up. Like we were just them kids that didn't have anything. So that was number one. Then a few weeks later, I got On a Mission on my hand. Well, on my wrist, actually. Hmm. Really small. I just really wanted to have that on my hand. So when I know, when I'm writing, when I'm typing, I can see that thing. And it just, it's in my head. It's in my reminders.
On a Mission.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
That it can mean anything. Yeah. That's why I have it. Like, yeah. I'm on a mission to build a great brand, to build a great team, to build a great community, to build a great body, to build a great mindset. Like, I'm on that mission to do all these things. That I have it in my bio. I've had it in my bio for years, and I don't know why. But you know what? It's actually a great conversation starter, because, like, I'll match with a girl on Raya or something, and she was just like, what's the mission? It's like, there you go, boom, conversation's done. And then I got another one like on the back of my tricep, which is I don't know how you pronounce it.
My buddy sent me it yesterday.
Yeah. Oh really?
He was like, are you gonna ask about George's tattoo on his arm?
Yeah, he's called Bella Foron. It's super detailed, like line work from a guy called Noah in LA. He's like one of the best tattoo artists in the world. And I met him through a friend who's got loads of tats from him, and he's such a great guy. So I just wanted to make sure like all my tattoos were like amazing. Because I'm at the point where I have the money and like the ability to go to the best people. So now I'll finally do it. Like, I don't want to ruin myself early. But this guy just, he was on my mood board, man, for years. Yeah.
Why?
Because like, it's this jacked up like Spartan warrior on a horse with wings.
Wow.
Like, who doesn't want to be that? Like, I want to be that guy. I want a horse with wings.
Well, it's funny because a jacked up warrior with wings kind of also represents the warrior and also the creator or creativity.
Right.
In both realms to me. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, because horses don't have wings. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something really cool there. It's just, I got that because I like the story of it. And it looks cool.
So sick. I like to end these podcasts with a challenge. A challenge for people points to the place in your heart you think that people should take this conversation and do something from it, to leave someone with an action step.
Yeah.
What's a challenge that comes to mind from all the things we've spoke about or from something we haven't?
I think just allow yourself to have an open mind to what we've just spoke about.
Mm.
And like, if you feel negative about anything we said or you don't think it's right, like, be open-minded about it. You don't have to think it's right, but like, there's so many things we've spoke about today which like have got me excited and got me like motivated to carry on. Like, I hope that can help other people, definitely.
Dude, I just want to say this conversation has like lit a new fire under me. That I'm already, I was lighting up and so fired up.
You've been lit. Honestly, bro, like, I read your tweets every single day and I'm just like, this guy just, he has it. You really have it. Like, I fully believe in you. And that's why I'm here today.
I appreciate that so much, because you are somebody I aspire to look up to. And really, the work that you've put in has not gone unnoticed from my perspective. And
appreciate that,
hopefully we can just continue pushing and pushing. Definitely. On the mission.
Definitely, man. On a mission together.
Yes, sir.
We're all in it together.
Absolutely. George Heaton on Instagram. Represent Chloe on Instagram as well.
Yes.
Anywhere else we should send people?
Yeah, YouTube Represent Chloe, Twitter Represent Chloe, and George Heaton on all them as well.
Link down below. Thank you so much, George.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you very much. It's been great.
Hey.
Let's go.